The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, a really warm welcome to all of you. Wherever you're from or are, or a warm welcome. It's nice to see you all. A lot of familiar faces, some new faces. So today I wanted to talk a little bit, tell this little story that I don't know why I feel really touched by, that's in the Buddhist scriptures, in the earliest Buddhist literature. And there's this story of this person, his name is Meghya, and he was the Buddha's attendant. And he wanted to go meditate. He wanted to go into this particular mango grove that looked really compelling. I don't know what would make a mango grove seem compelling, but whatever it was. And he asked the Buddha, well, I'm going to go meditate now. And the Buddha said, no, wait, you know, you're my attendant and nobody else is here. Let's wait till somebody else comes. And Meghya, he backtalks the Buddha. He says, well, you've already done what needed to be done. You're awakened, but I'm not. So I'm going to go meditate. And then asks again, and the Buddha says, okay, go. So Meghya goes and he meditates. He has all these thoughts, like he's filled with all these thoughts of ill will and cruelty and like all kinds of unhelpful thoughts, and he just cannot settle down to meditate. So he goes back to the Buddha and says, wow, you know, even though I'm dedicating my life to practice, he's a monastic, and maybe I will add, even though he has what arguably would be the world's greatest meditation teacher, that he still, you know, isn't awakened and is filled with thoughts of ill will and cruelty or other unhelpful thoughts. And the Buddha says to him, well, the mind isn't quite ripe, that is when it's not ready to let go of these types of thoughts, there are some things that you can do. And the first thing he says is to have some companions, have some friends, have some colleagues, some associates. He uses three different words in Pali. Often it gets translated as friends, companions, and now the third one escapes me, associates, friends, companions, and associates. I'm interpreting that to mean people that we interact with, but we have different levels of intimacy with. Some people we don't know, maybe we only see them when we come to Zoom and the breakout groups, right? We don't see them or interact with them outside of this, or maybe they're good friends that we see regularly and we talk about things that are important for us. But one of the things that the Buddha says when he continues in this story here, that he says, well, because when you have friends, and he's using this word kalyanamitta in Pali, some of you might have heard this, it sometimes gets translated as good spiritual friends, people who are supporting you. When you have good friends, it's more likely that you will act in a way that's helpful and wholesome and wise. It's more likely that you will engage in conversations that are inspiring and helpful. It's more likely that you will get exposed to things that are really important, with this recognition that people we spend time with, in particular, and maybe our environment more in general, really has a big impact on us. I feel inspired by this, by the Buddha saying the importance of friends, people we associate with. But maybe I want to add a little bit here with how the kind of loving kindness practice can support this and add to this. And maybe it comes down to this in some kind of way. Are we teachable? Are we willing to learn from others, either directly or indirectly? Can we be inspired by others, but without necessarily falling into envy or self-loathing or something like this? Can we be touched by others and have it impact us in a way that's helpful? So I'm not saying that we have to throw out our discernment, our wisdom, and just believe what everybody says. And I'm not saying that everybody we encounter, we should be touched by everything, but to be open to this idea that we can be influenced by others in a really supportive way, in a helpful way. And that's part of why we do some of this breakout groups, is the idea that, you know, all of us have wisdom. Of course we do. And so that to share it, that doesn't mean that every breakout session is great. It doesn't mean that there's epiphanies that happen. Maybe there's people that there's a little uncomfortableness or doesn't feel quite right, but maybe we can learn from that too. It's an opportunity for us to practice some of our warm-heartedness, or an opportunity for us to practice our patience, or whatever might be needed. And just with this recognition that other people's lives, of course, will unfold differently than ours. Of course they will. How can they not? They've had this, their lifetimes have been different than ours, different experiences that they've had. And so just keeping this in mind, like, okay, people's lives unfold in the direction that they do and at the pace that they do, unique to them. It doesn't have to be the same for us. But is there a way in which we might, I don't know, feel connected and appreciative, and maybe be willing to learn from others, those that we encounter, which might mean that we have to maybe not be holding on to our views really tightly. Might be mean that we learn from somebody who has a really different background than ours. That we have a common humanity also. I'm not saying we're all exactly the same, because we're not. But I also want to say that this doesn't mean that we can't learn from others. It's because they're different. So loving kindness practice is a way that can help us kind of like soften some of the edges, or help us to be open, to be teachable, or to learn, or to have some softness in our encounters with others. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some loving kindness practice. I'm seeing all these furry creatures. I just love it so much, seeing the cats. Okay, so just taking a comfortable, alert posture. And just, I like this expression, checking in, just kind of landing or resting the attention on what it's like to be here right now in this moment. Just in a global sense, how does the body feel? Is there some ease or some tightness, tiredness, restlessness? Whatever it is, just allow it to be there as best we can. That is, without feeling like we have to get rid of it. Maybe doing a little bit of a body scan. Check in with the head and the face, the eyes and jaw in particular. The shoulders. The upper back, the lower back. Just resting our attention on these different areas. Nothing really needs to happen. Maybe just allowing them to come alive. With the chest and the belly. And feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body where we're sitting, including the upper legs. And lower legs. My feet, feeling connected, grounded. The arms. And the hands. Can we bring a gentle awareness to the sensations in the body? Including the sensations of breathing. And when the mind wanders, just very gently, simply begin again. And to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, a being in which it's easy and complicated to feel warm-heartedness, to feel care, feel kindness. and connecting with this lovable being, whether it's a cat or a family dog, somebody who really helped you in your life, maybe somebody you don't know but you feel inspired by. To visualize this lovable being. And to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to connect with this lovable being, allowing ourselves to feel that warmth, the care we had. Maybe we've learned some important things from this lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand this loving kindness for a good friend, somebody that's in our life. Maybe the relationship's a little more complicated than with the lovable being. Maybe it's a family member. Connecting with this person. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe there are some other phrases you'd like to use. Maybe these phrases don't resonate. Maybe they do. But you're welcome to change the words. It's more the simple, warm-hearted connection, the well-wishing, the sense of goodwill. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And can we expand this one more time for ourselves? Loving kindness for ourselves. May I be happy. May I be safe. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Checking in with the body and seeing if there are any experiences of warmth or softness or openness, maybe in a vague way. Maybe it's just a tiny little sliver of your experience. Or maybe it's not there at all. It's perfectly fine. But if there is some warmth or openness, can you allow that to be a support for you, to be a nourishment, allowing the well-wishing, the goodwill to come from that place, perhaps? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. This idea of being teachable means that we don't have to have all the answers. Putting down the burden of having to figure everything out ourselves. appreciating what we've learned from others, whether they were intending to teach us something or not. Wishing yourself some goodwill. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then some loving kindness for a neutral person, somebody we don't know. Maybe it's somebody in this Zoom call, somebody you see in the neighborhood on occasion, bringing that person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe it takes a little more energy to maintain the connection with the neutral person, somebody you don't know. But this is really where our lives can be filled with some brightness, our everyday lives. If people that we don't know, we also can be sending them goodwill. And the goodwill can be buoying, supporting us. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. This idea of having companions or friends on this path of practice with towards greater and greater well-being, greater and greater ease, greater and greater freedom. Sometimes we might underestimate how helpful it can be to have others and to recognize that there is a whole range of types of relationships that we can have, to close friends, to maybe just some casual acquaintances, or maybe even strangers. And that loving kindness practice can help us kind of like soften our hearts in a way that we can be teachable. So if you'd like an opportunity to talk with some other people to test this out, I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you can discuss this idea of being teachable and having support of others during this practice. Certainly, sometimes people are the only ones that meditate. They don't know anybody else that meditates. And sometimes it's just helpful to know, like, oh yeah, there's other people that are meditating too. And we'll have about 14 minutes. There'll be about four people in a room, three or four people in a room. And we can do it in such a way that there is, you say one thing, not everything about this topic. And then the next person says one thing. And then the next person says one thing. And then it comes back around to the first person if there were three. And then now, having been influenced by what they heard before, they might say something new. So most of the time we're doing listening practice and we don't need to give advice to each other. Nobody really wants to get advice, right? But it's just an opportunity to kind of like together, maybe practice together and learn together by just sharing some of our thoughts and ideas. So why don't we do this? You can do it in the order of the last digit of your phone number. So they can go in a circle and we'll say that zero comes before one. Okay, here we go. Welcome back.
Good evening.
Oh, here we go. Everybody's finding their way back. So welcome back. So does anybody have a question or a comment or something they'd like to share? Like, yes, Jerry.
Not to geopolitical events, you know, I was just troubled. There's lots of stuff to be have dukkha about, but what's happening to women in Afghanistan or the threat that's happening to them, it really is a struggle to sort of think about that and where one had been and where one is now. So it's how I settled myself was thinking more about a single person, as you suggested. But I had come into the meditation with a number of family issues troubling me, which are seemingly on hold, thankfully, for now. But, I try not to read a lot of the news, but this is, it's hard not to, when you see a woman and children, they tend to affect me in a larger way than other news. I just wondered how you handle that in the context of loving kindness in terms of a country.
Yeah, I debated whether to talk about that today. So this warm-heartedness, when it meets the suffering of others, it kind of gets transformed into what we would call compassion. And that is this wish for the suffering to end. So it's this this warm-hearted wish for the suffering to end and to allow ourselves to be touched by it while also not feeling overwhelmed. And part of the reason how we cannot feel overwhelmed is to first get kind of grounded into the warm-heartedness and allow that to be a support for us. And when we feel like we're getting overwhelmed, or then to come back to feeling our feet on the ground, feeling our breath, coming back in, touching into, if it's still available, that sincere wish for all beings to be happy, all beings to be safe, and to maybe it inspires us to act. But while we're meditating, right, to go out, acting is a little bit different than while we're in a meditation practice, while we're meditating, to allow ourselves to feel the, I don't know, I'm using this word, be touched by it, and to touch into our wish to be able to do something. And maybe if that's also there, you didn't say this, Jerry, but perhaps there's also a feeling of, well, what can I do? Or I have to do something. Or I don't know. There's a whole range of things. And to just allow the mind at that moment to kind of like appreciate, yes, I do feel this connection with other people and it's really important. But I could behave in the world with the greatest wisdom if I am not overwhelmed. We can have the best versions of ourselves show up when we're not overwhelmed. So it's often a little bit of like tapping into the difficulties and then coming back in and feeling grounded. Tapping into the difficulties and coming in feeling grounded again. And this might mean that we have to do this over and over and over again. It might mean that we have to take a little break from the media, feeling if we're feeling the overwhelm. I'm using this word overwhelm, but it could be also this sense of, like, I don't know, hopelessness or something like that. I don't know. Was that helpful, Jerry?
Yeah, is that very helpful, actually, Diana? Thank you. In the sense of sort of, I guess, I'm thinking of the aircraft analogy. Put the mask on yourself first and then help everyone else. So the idea, yeah, I was getting upregulated, and when I just settled myself, I was able to think about it a little differently, and think perhaps more strategically, there's a federal election on right now in Canada, and the present Prime Minister Trudeau is running ahead of the polls. But, you know, politicians tend to listen more when there's an election on. So I thought maybe I'll write him a letter. Not that it'll... Or maybe I'll post something on social media. So, but I hadn't thought of that until now. So it's very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. Okay. So I'm willing to stay if others want to talk about this, because what's happening in Afghanistan, it's quite heartbreaking. But I'm not going to say I have any of the answers, but maybe just to create a forum in which we maybe could support one another. But I also want to acknowledge it's 3 minutes past the hour. So if you'd like to go, you can go. But I just want to be able to hold the space to acknowledge what's happening. So Kim, were you raising your hand because you wanted to say something? Or no, that was a goodbye. Okay.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, so Neil, are these goodbyes?
Yeah, it's
like, bye-bye. Okay, great. So
take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Okay.
Good night.
Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Jamie.
Great to practice together.
Yeah.
Steph, good talking to you.
Great. Thank you, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Jeff and Linda. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I kind of wanted to say touching on what Jerry said, last night's loving kindness with Nikki, she did this compassion meditation practice, and it was somebody in this group today. His name was Neil, and he mentioned something that was like about this whole Afghanistan thing, and I don't know how, if I'm getting it right, but like during his meditation he said he was really like having compassion for the people of Afghanistan, but he was also like having compassion for like the Taliban. And then I thought about it all day and I was like, yeah, that's like, I really get that, because those people as well, like that's all they know, you know. Yeah. It's like, so when he said that, I was like, wow, yeah, that was like pretty touching. But because of course, yeah, the women and those people, that's scary, and a lot of fears involved, but also like these people, that's like, it's generations and generations. So like to have compassion for these people, that it's like, wow, like they're really suffering and they don't, you know, maybe know, they're just, this is all they know.
Yeah. Right. But they feel the photos of them are with machine guns often, right? So they feel like, okay, that's the way to be in the world. Whereas, you know, wow, such a different way to be in the world.
Yeah.
So that's nice. I'm happy to hear this. I actually spoke with Nikki earlier today, and she told me that she had done that practice last night. She did kind of like the Tonglen practice, where you breathe in the suffering and breathe out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I fell asleep during it, but it was.
That's okay. You're allowed to, you know, whatever happens. Are you on the East Coast? Or are you a later time zone? Or are you here on the West?
No, I'm here in California. I live in the Barry in Burlingame, California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, usually with these loving kindness practices that I've been coming to once in a while, I just like, I don't know why, I don't know if there's something off in my practice, but I don't know if it's my energy or I need to exercise, but it's like, I just don't have energy. And I just kind of like, I just kind of get lost in my thoughts. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. And that can happen at the end of the day too.
But thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Good night.